everyone. Welcome in. It is episode 2 of The Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. I am the aforementioned Patrick Netherton. We're super excited to have you with us. Hope you enjoyed episode 1. Just a little intro for who I am, why we're called The Barbecue Hound, and kind of what this adventure is going to be. This will be much more of an interview-driven podcast, and we're going to start off with a bang right here in episode 2. We're going to be joined by the barbecue snob himself, the keeper of the Texas Monthly Top 50 list, the man who curates it and figures out what's going on, Daniel Vaughn. You can find him at BBQ Snob on all of the social medias. He is going to be our guest for this one. We're going to get into his past. How did he get into being the barbecue editor of Texas Monthly Magazine? What goes into putting together the list? How many times? How many people? How do you get that job? I'm going to try to see if I can figure out how to get that job as well. And what does it take to put together a list of the top 50 barbecue joints in Texas and then add in an additional 50 honorable mentions as well? So we're going to get into a bunch of that. It's a really good, deep conversation with Daniel, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So definitely stay tuned for that. Just to give you an idea of how the format of this show is going to go, every week we're going to have an interview that'll be in the middle. We'll have an open. We'll talk a little bit about some barbecue adventures, what we're doing, that sort of stuff. Then we'll have the interview with our guest, and then we'll finish it up with what we call the smoke, which is our viewer mailbag, listener mailbag. So if you want to send stuff in, please do. We will definitely make sure that we get that on the air for you. So definitely send stuff in. If you want to find us at the BBQ Snob everywhere, our email address is patrick@thebbqsnob.com. And you can text or leave us a voicemail on our mobile line. That is 318-6570-HAM, 318-657-0426. Leave us a note, send us a voicemail. If you leave a voicemail, chances are we might end up playing it on the show. So go ahead and do that for us. Email, send us a voice note or text, or hit us up on any of our social medias or comment on any of our videos on any of our podcasting platforms or over on the YouTube channel. So one little quick story before we get to Daniel Vaughn. I was in Texas. Of course, I'm from Shreveport, Louisiana, but I was in Texas a couple of weeks ago for the Southland Conference Football Media Days. I was one of the hosts for the Southland. Appreciate them having me out. My day job is as Northwestern State play-by-play guy. And so I ended up getting to go over and do a little Southland football preview for the league. So I went over there. It was in San Antonio, being held in conjunction with the Texas High School Coaches Association meetings. And I'm in San Antonio. That's about six and a half, seven hours from me. So I figured, hey, let's knock out some joints, right? While we're there, we got to take care of Reese Brothers. We got to take care, of course, of Burnt Bean. That was the big one in Seguin. I wasn't sure I was going to make it to Burnt Bean in Seguin on this trip, but we decided to go ahead and do it on a Sunday morning. So we get there. It's about 10:30. They've been open since 8. They do breakfast on Sundays. They're open at about 10:30, they're open about 8. We're there about 10:30. And when I went to Burnt Bean in 23, obviously before this last list came out and they were number one, I got to Burnt Bean probably 10:15 on a random Saturday. I was probably 30th in line. When we got there at 10:30 on a Sunday, I was probably 230th in line. It was down the block and around to the halfway down the next block. So it was a line, but we were there. We knew we were going to be okay. They had a lady come out and tell us, look, you'll be fine. You'll get brisket. You'll get ribs. We'll have some of the good stuff for you when you get there. They cook a lot now, Ernest Cervantes and David Kirkland. So we wait in line. We get all the way. If you've ever been to Burnt Bean, there is about a 30-foot gap between the front doors and where you actually order, where the counter is. And to your left, as you're standing there, is the giant blackboard of all of their food. And it is an expansive menu. So all of that's over there. They have it stanchioned off. They've got it, you know, roped off where you can't get to it and go mess up the chalk or anything. It's pristine. And so I'm just standing in line. Now, keep in mind, I'm 6'4". I'm a big dude. So I'm just standing in line, and one of the Burnt Bean employees comes over, little short lady, And she goes, hey, you're really tall. Can I get you to help me with something? Thinking, okay, I'm in my brain, I'm not registering what she's about to ask me, or else I might have said no. But I'm just thinking, okay, she needs help with something. So she gets me out of line and pulls me into the little cordoned off area. And she hands me a piece of blue painter's tape. And she said, I need you to mark that out up there. Now, my brain suddenly realized is she's asking me to tell everyone in line that one of their food items is done. It's sold out. And I thought, well, this isn't going to be good. And then my next thought was, please don't let it be brisket. Please don't let it be ribs. Please don't let it be something in the Trinity. Obviously, brisket, ribs, and sausage. It was a one-off item. I think it was a sandwich of some kind, a special sandwich they had. But I walked up. She handed me the tape. It was at the very top of the board. She handed me the tape. And I walk over there and I turn around and look at everyone that's standing in line. And there's probably 40 people inside the restaurant in line. And I turn and look at them and go, I'm sorry, guys. And I reach up and I tape over that particular sandwich. And I absolutely adore the barbecue public for this. They all booed me. Just boo, boo, come on, what are you doing? Like, it was such a beautiful moment. It kind of warmed my heart. It made me happy. Come to find out after the fact that apparently they draw straws to see who is going to have to go out and mark out brisket and mark out ribs when it comes time for that. There is no one really wants to be that person. And so they actually have to draw straws. Got to chat with David Kirkland, one of the co-owners of Burnt Bean, after the fact. So that was my my fun barbecue adventure. We had a great time. Reese Brothers was tremendous. We hit up a bunch of places while we were in San Antonio and a couple places on the way down. Brendan's in Nacogdoches, Mimsy's in Crockett that I got to get to on the way down to San Antonio. They were fantastic. Just a tremendous trip. But yeah, I had to cross out one of the things at the number one barbecue place in all of Texas barbecue. And I got booed soundly for doing it, as I deserved. So there you go. Coming up next, we're going to chat with Daniel Vaughn, the barbecue snob at BBQ Snob on all of his social medias. Obviously, he is the barbecue editor of Texas Monthly Magazine, and he is the guy that curates the list, the keeper of the list, Daniel Vaughn. All right, we welcome you back to the Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton. And the guy who actually coined that phrase is sitting in the box. Well, that way, I never can figure out which way to point. We're going to talk about how that all came to be. We talked a good bit about that in episode number one. But we figured, look, if we're going to come out with a guest, we need to come out strong. And the guy that puts together the preeminent list of barbecue joints, not just in Texas, even though he works for Texas Monthly, but all around the world, that's the guy that we need to get. So barbecue editor and the barbecue snob himself, Daniel Vaughn, is our first guest on the Barbecue Hound. Daniel, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing well. Honored to be the first guest.
Well, look, it is a great honor. I think we're going to send you a plaque or something for it, just so you know.
I can hang it up here behind me.
Yeah, you can put it on your wall. Your walls are like my walls. I don't have anything hanging. I got bookshelves. Got a lot of that, but I don't hang stuff. That's my number one issue right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you got to show off the books and the, all that great gear you've collected too. I mean, that's, you got to show it off.
Yeah, and I actually, when I was going through these shelves, because they used to be a lot more crowded, the number one thing I got was, there's no barbecue stuff on your shelves. And I'm like, look, okay, so I've got a Burnt Bean, I've got a Riverport, I've got it this way, Blake's Barbecue over here. I got all of my certifications, KCBS and Steak Cooking Association. And by the way, just want it noted, I'm terrible with the pointing. I've got both of the last two Texas Monthly Top 50 List magazines.
Yes, I noticed those Texas Monthly covers certainly.
Well, I'm glad you look familiar. Glad you figured it out. Before we get into the Texas Monthly Top 50, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about your journey to get where you are now. When did the barbecue love start? When did you decide that this is something that you wanted to get deeper into, a vocation as opposed to just an avocation?
Well, when it started and when I decided I wanted to get into it deeper are separated by about a decade, but It was really me moving to Dallas in 2001. Originally from Ohio, I went to college in New Orleans and moved to Dallas right after. And one of my first meals here was barbecue at Peggy Sue Barbecue, and just fell in love with it. Fell in love with the idea of taking these cuts of meat that were really just unfamiliar to me, and using these smokers that at that point in time I really didn't know how they worked. And creating this food barbecue that I think just about anybody in America is familiar with the term and has an idea of what barbecue is, but until you come to Texas and understand what Texas barbecue is, it's a whole different thing. So, I had a blog, wrote about lots of places that I visited, and was working as an architect at the time, and did that for 12 years, and now I've been doing this for 12 years, working for Texas Monthly, and that really started with just a did some informal stuff with them, some blog posts here and there, and asked if maybe they would include me in their 2013 Top 50 Barbecue issue in their tasting team. And so, we came out with that issue. At that time, Pat Sharp was our food editor, and she really was the one who marshaled that one through. But I was My position was announced just before it came out, so I think most people thought when it came out that I had, all the final say in it. So yeah, started getting the comments right away. But of course, Pat had most of the say so in that one, and we collaborated a lot on the 2017 and 2021 list, and then this latest list. We do it every 4 years, and this latest one was. It was still a group effort, but I didn't have Pat there to help out.
You mentioned being an architect. Do you roll in like, oh man, those are some really nice Ionic columns that you've got in your building here? Like, do you, because some of these places are in old buildings. Do you appreciate the architecture of barbecue?
I mean, I don't see a whole lot of Ionic or Tuscan or
Doric.
Etruscan or Doric or Corinthian columns in any of the barbecue
That's, by the
joints
way,
that I
that's all
go.
I remember from my architecture back in the day was Doric and Ionic columns. I didn't even remember Corinthian, so you're
Okay, well,
going
you
up
just
on
got to
that.
look at the Colosseum in Rome, and
Okay.
as it goes up, they change. You've
Oh.
got all of them in there, all the way up on the Colosseum. So,
Yeah, it's weird. Strangely, there's not a ton of amazing architecture in modern world, but definitely in the old world.
well, I mean, the thing I get asked more often is like, have I ever considered, designing a barbecue restaurant and, or getting into that? And the thing is, like, most of these places, like, they're not looking to hire an architect to build up from scratch, for the most part. Most of these barbecue operations, they're starting off maybe from a food truck or starting off as a pop-up, and usually moving into a space that they're just going to renovate, or they're in a building that they've been in, decades and decades. So, I don't think a whole lot of profitable work for a dedicated barbecue architect.
Hey, we need a space for people to sit and eat. We need a space for us to cook, and we need a place for the line to go. Like, that's
Well,
basically the.
I mean, the thing is, like, a barbecue joint does have to determine right away, do they want to be able to serve people in front of them? Do they want to be able to slice right in front of people and serve them on a platter and have it for them, by the time they're done with that line, they've got their food in front of them? Or do they want to prepare it all back in the kitchen, and, call people's numbers or names? So that is a big decision to make for any barbecue joint right off the bat. The cutting it, slicing it right in front of people, is certainly the slower way to go. But it allows people to see what they're ordering before they put it on the tray, and allows people to get a sense of the food they're going to eat before it comes out. So that way is a little more personal, but it does tend to keep that line moving a little slower.
Yeah, and it's a spectacle as well, which is, I one of the early places that I went to in Dallas, Heart Eight. You go in there, and Heart Eight is good. I wouldn't say it's amazing or great, but it's very quality barbecue. But The cool thing is the spectacle. You walk in and they've got all the meats laid out there in a pit, you know, basically, or you go to Lockhart to several places and there's, you know, you can almost step into the fire if you're not careful and burn yourself. Like some of the spectacle stuff is really good too. I love that. Salt Lick, which I haven't had a chance to go to, I know with the big pit in the round pit in the middle.
Yeah, the most
I like the show.
photogenic barbecue pit in barbecue, as far as I'm
Yeah.
concerned, there at the Salt Lick. Now they have a lot of big, giant rotisseries in the back, which is where they do most of the cooking, but they finish it all off on that big pit. But yeah, I mean, barbecue to a certain degree is about the show. I just went into a barbecue joint here recently in Keller, Outpost 36, and they had a camera trained on their pit room. So they had their pits Waylon and Willie that they named back there, and you can see everything going on in the pit room. And so yeah, even if you can't see through a window into the pit room or whatnot, they were trying to get you a window into it through their TV screen.
Pits are always named something. Like they always name their pits something. They've always got something going on,
Yeah,
which.
there's family names, and there's certainly big figures in Texas and figures in Texas barbecue. Yeah, the naming of the pit is always a careful consideration.
What have you seen? So you get into you know the actual writing of barbecue and you know you turn this into a career basically. Did you have any idea the trajectory that this was going to go on? Because the top 50 list, I don't know what it was three iterations ago, but I know now it is a spectacle, much like barbecue itself. The top 50 list is a spectacle. It is, when is it coming out? Who's on it? I've got to get it. I mean, I have my sister send me the Texas Monthly Top 50 book and then the booklet with, goes with it so I can get my stamps. I mean, this thing is huge. Did you have any idea when you first stepped in that this would become what it has in terms of the spectacle of it?
No, for sure I didn't. I mean, I was told at the time I was hired that in itself, my hiring represented the peak of Texas barbecue, and that it was all going to go downhill from there.
And it's true. Thank you for your interview. Thank you for your time,
Yeah,
Daniel. We appreciate
exactly.
it. We're going to wrap this interview up now.
Well, and every list that comes out, it's just like, has Texas barbecue peaked? And it's like, no, it certainly hasn't. It hasn't peaked in Texas, and certainly Texas barbecue hasn't peaked around the country and around the world. I think it's the most, I think without a doubt, it's the most popular style to be copied out there, certainly for any new barbecue joints that are opening up. So yeah, Texas barbecue is strong. And no, I never imagined, a dozen years ago when I started that Texas barbecue would really take over the country in the way that it has, and that the top 50 barbecue issue would be not only as popular but as well sometimes controversial, and that comes with more eyeballs on it certainly, but I think a lot of it just goes back to just how much great barbecue there is in Texas, and so being able to make a legitimate argument for so many different barbecue joints, it's not a tall task to make those arguments because there are so many good ones out there.
Yeah, that, you know, I just in the last couple of months had Goldie's, which is the number one on the last list. And then I had Burnt Bean this past weekend. Obviously, this will air a couple of weeks after this interview, but I had Burnt Bean and it's number one on the new list. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a certified judge of barbecue and I can tell you when something's cooked right. And obviously, taste is subjective as opposed to objective. Cooking is more objective. But brother, I don't know how you do it. I'll be honest with you. Everything that I had at Goldie's was magnificent. Everything I had at Burnt Bean was magnificent. You know, when you go to Franklin's and when you go to so many of these places, there, how do you split hairs between and among so many places that are so fantastic and the differences are so microscopic?
Yeah, I mean, taking notes is certainly an important part of it. Getting the notes from our tasting team that goes out before I go out to a lot of these places is also important. One of the reasons that we do it the way we do in going to taste all these places in a 6 to 7 month period So we can really do those comparisons, right? Trying to remember what I ate at a place a year ago versus how it compares to another one a year later, or a couple of years ago, is certainly a tall task. But when you're out there trying to finalize that, who's going to be in that top 10 or top 50, and being able to try places back to back, and in quick succession from one to the next is really important. The thing is, like, we only can judge you based on the visit that we had. So, there's that part too. That I think takes away some of the difficulty. We're very upfront about the fact that this isn't based on what you did in our 2013 or 2017 or 2021 list, or what you did last year or the year before. It's how is your barbecue right now compared to everyone else's that we've gone to visit, and there are some places that we go, and maybe they had a great day, and maybe they had a really bad day, and that can certainly be favorable or unfavorable to them. But it's one of the reasons that we do repeat visits to all these places that are in our top 50 or in our top 10.
Let's talk about the putting together of the list and what it entails. Y'all, I think I did a really nice job with this list and this issue of explaining kind of the process that goes
Oh wow,
on, how
you
many
read it.
people. I did, of course I did. Of course I
That's
did.
that seems to be lacking in a lot of the a lot of the questions I get about the list. It's like, oh well, you haven't explained, you don't explain to these barbecue joints or the readers exactly how it happens. It's like, no, you didn't read it. Like, you looked at the list, you looked for number one, and then you read down through the 50 and through the honorable mentions. But it's like, it's all, we lay it all out there in our introduction.
Yeah. Well, give us a little, for those that haven't read it, give us a little taste of it, because this is not, it's not you traveling around to 300 places and trying them out. You've got a cast of people that are involved. You've got multiple, almost semifinals, if you will, where you go through and kind of rate. It's, I liken it a lot to when I did the mock selection committee for the NCAA basketball tournament, where you've got a list of eight teams and you vote and the top three go on, and then you add another group and another group, and you kind of continue to cull as you go until you get to that top layer. What is that process like for you guys? How many people are involved? What all are you doing?
Well, I think this time around we had 25 plus me on the team, and we all meet. We met toward the end of August of 2024, and we really put together a whole presentation about what they should all be looking for and what we value in barbecue. And we have barbecue brought in from a couple of different barbecue joints to really compare and contrast, and to discuss the finer points of a brisket bark, and pull apart tenderness, and falling off the bone versus ribs that are too tough, juicy sausage versus commercial grade, like really cohesive hot dog sausage. So we have all that in front of us to discuss, and then from there, each person gets their marching orders of the different barbecue joints that they are going to visit, or the region that they're going to visit, and the barbecue joints that they must visit over that, the next 4 months or so, and come back to me with scores. And then I take those all those places that are really on the contenders list and go revisit them all. Now, in that 4 month period leading up to it, I'm also out there eating. Like, my full-time job is being the barbecue editor, so my full-time job is really a scouting mission for this list. And so in that 4 month period, I have my own territory, and I'm also going to a lot of other places. So I think in total, I went to nearly 200 barbecue joints in the time period that we had to do the search. I know that in 2025 alone, we had really the first 2 months. We had January and February. I think I had to turn in the top 50, the final rankings on March 3rd, and I went to over 100 barbecue joints in that 2 month period of time. So it's really about going to as many as possible, getting that fir those firsthand opinions. I get told all the time, well, you don't need to go to that place, it's no good. And it's like, well, I have to. Yeah, I need that first-hand opinion. That's the only thing that matters in this business.
So you know, oftentimes if people that follow you on your very, it's at bar, BBQ snob, you know, on all the socials, people that follow you note that, you know, you'll go and hit three, four places in a day, and you know, hey, went here, and you know, you get to East Texas and you try to hit all the places that you can. You get to Southeast Texas, et cetera. What do you actually eat when you're there? Because, you know, you're getting these Pitmaster platters that have everything on them, and they're beautiful, and it's got all the sides, and it's got some of every bit of the meat, and just, I mean, gorgeous platters. You're definitely not eating all of that. What do you actually eat when you go into these places?
Well, what I'm ordering depends on really what I'm looking for, whether I'm there to, whether they're on the bubble for the top 50 or on the bubble for honorable mentions, or in the running for the top 10. In the running for the top 10, I'm going to order a lot more variety. I want to try a lot more dishes, sides, meats, desserts, all of it. If not, it's a smaller order, where I definitely want to get the brisket and the ribs and the sausage and probably one other protein and a couple of sides. I mean, what I'm eating also depends on the day, like how many places am I going to. If it's for top 10, I'm eating a lot more because I have to eat a bunch of different dishes. But if I'm going into a place in East Texas, like, I mean, I went into Stanley's. At Stanley's, I got a couple of slices of brisket, I got ribs, two different kinds of sausage. And I believe turkey. And I mean, two bites of turkey, you eat a rib. It gives you pretty much all the information you need. There's generally little reason to go to that second rib. But I usually order two ribs because it looks better on a platter. And people get upset if I don't show off a pretty platter from their barbecue joint. And as far as the brisket, like I want to, if I'm asked, I will ask for a slice of fatty and a slice of lean. So that I can try usually the back end of the fatty slice, that curve shape at the back that it's going to show you if it's gotten blasted with too much heat. It's going to give you the sort of most robust smoke flavor and seasoning, and you're also going to get that good texture, hopefully, of the fatty brisket. And then
Yeah,
a couple of
that's
bites,
your burn ends basically. So,
right?
yeah.
Yes, and then a couple of bites of the lean brisket as well. Two or three slices of sausage, and then a few bites of each side and dessert. The people who ask, like, how do you eat it all? Like, are you kidding? Like,
Yeah, you
no,
don't
there's
eat it all.
no way I'm eating all of this.
No.
If given the opportunity, I want to bring people along to at least help me eat as much of it as possible, or allow me to order more variety and not look like such a glutton.
Do you stand in line?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I didn't
Yeah.
know if you had, like, you know, if you flash the badge and you get to go cut to the front of the line, you know. I don't...
No. I mean, sure, there's places I probably could cut the line, but no. It part of the fun is like getting in line at Burnt Bean and walking through the front door
Brother, that was 3 hours.
And knowing that Ernest Cervantes is probably going to be there on the block, and he looks up and he's looking at the line, and then he sees me and he's like, okay, I know what day it is.
Can I let me tell you a story about Burnt Bean since I was just there a couple of days ago. I'm standing in line 3 hours. When I went there in 23, before y'all named them number one on the list, I got there about 10:30, maybe a little earlier. I was like 15th, 20th in line. Got there at 10:30 this time on a Sunday when they open at 8, by the way. And we were 220th in line. We were down the block and around the corner. Legit 3 hours, 10:30 to 1:30 before we got our food. Well, we get inside, and as you know, at Burnt Bean, there's still another 20, 30 feet from the door to the actual counter where you order. And they've got their big blackboard up there with all the food on it, blue painter's tape on the things that are crossed out, that are out. And they've got a stanchion pulled across so people can't get over there and put their hands on it and all that kind of stuff. Well, I had an employee walk up to me. And she said, "Hey, you're tall. Can you help me out with something?" Now, I've been on my feet for nearly 3 hours. Brain's not working real well, and I'm thinking, "Okay, sure. I don't know what she needs, but I'm happy to help." If I had been thinking a little clearer, I might have realized that she's going to have me cross something off the board that she can't reach. So she's like, yeah, great. And I go in there and she hands me a strip of blue tape and says, hey, can you reach up there and cross off? And luckily it wasn't brisket or ribs or anything. You know, it was one of their specials. And so I looked over at the people, the 20 or 30 people that are in line. I said, I'm sorry, guys. And I put up, you know, put the tape up and they all booed me very loudly, which was amazing. Like that's such a great experience. And I go, look, I need to, you got to pay me back for this, right? You just had these people jeer at me. And she says, you get a free banana pudding. Sold. Done. I'm in. Let's go. So I did get to cross something off the list. And according to David Kirkland, who I got to chat with, one of the co-owners, he said that there's a guy who actually enjoys crossing things off the list. I was like, that guy might need to be on a list somewhere. But that was a cool experience that I've never gotten anywhere else at a barbecue place. So I really relish that.
It's really put you in the spotlight there.
I didn't. And I realized apparently, according to David, they all draw straws for who crosses off brisket. So I totally get that.
But yeah, I mean, you can ask around about the line standing. I ask all the guys who work at Goldie's. I've stood in line every time I've been there. You know, Leroy and Lewis, one of the great things about Leroy and Lewis is if you just want one of those smoked burgers, you can walk in and just sit at the bar. So that's one of the things you can just order from the bar and you don't need to stand in that long line.
That was one of the secrets of Pecan Lodge back in the day, is you could go to the bar and sit down and you could skip the line back
That's
when it
right.
was up in the list. So yeah, there's some tips and tricks. Do you ever worry that about being recognized, especially if you're there to judge? It's one thing if you're just there, you know, kind of casually, but if it's in the midst of, hey, look, I this is a, you know, burnt beans specifically, right? This is a place that's in the running for a top 10, potentially a number one. Do you worry that they see you and give you some things that maybe someone else doesn't get, or they're very careful with it as opposed to, hey, this is Joe Blow. We're just going to give them what's in front of us.
I mean, I'm not worried about being recognized. I certainly know that a barbecue joint there can choose to give me the finest pieces of whatever they've got. So certainly, I know that there's a possibility I'm getting the best of the best. There's no way they can give me anything better than what they can do. So they can only give me their best. And that's part of the reason we have that other team of folks who goes out there. And tries all these barbecue joints to get their own take on them. And they're going in there blind. They're not recognized. And so it's a good way to be able to compare their score and my score and see how they match up.
So how does one get one of those jobs? You know, I'm only 12 miles from the border of Texas. I'm just saying, I'm right here. How do we get on the list?
The best way is to send your resume to Texas Monthly for any open position we've got.
Okay. I'll
And
get my
then,
barbecue tasting resume. I don't have that real handy. I've got my, if you need my broadcast demo, I've got that for you, but I don't have my barbecue tasting demo really readily available.
yes. But yeah, I mean, I know that, I know you know your barbecue, certainly your East Texas barbecue. But yeah, there was a moment in searching for this list where I went into Riverport Barbecue in Jefferson and Stephen Joseph was there and he recognized that I was there right as I was leaving and could almost see it in his face like oh and I mean I saw it on the platter that was in front of me that he didn't recognize that it was me so anyway, that's
Yeah, no, look, it and but here's the cool thing about it, right? And I have friendships with a lot of the East Texas guys and some of the Southeast Texas guys as well. And the interesting thing about that is when you befriend those guys, they're willing to give you a little extra. You know, I'll get a maybe a burnt end on my platter when they're not actually selling burnt ends, that kind of thing. That does lead me to an interesting point for you. You develop personal relationships with all of these guys. You know the pit masters that are involved. Does it then make it difficult to judge? Because when I judge, you know, I'm a KCBS certified judge. When I judge, it's blind. They hand me a platter. I don't know whose it is. I don't know where it came from. I might have 15 friends out there that are cooking, but I have no idea if I'm eating their food. You know exactly who you're eating, whose food you're eating. Is it difficult to sort of slice your emotional side with your objective side?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's difficult. I mean, it's certainly something that I recognize. It's something that you really have to recognize if you're in my position. So, yeah, there's both personal relationships and just stories, right? I'm a journalist, so the great stories out there, like you take a place like like Barbecue, right? Barbecue in Lockhart. What better story would there have been that this brand new barbecue joint in like the barbecue capital of Texas is like, I don't know, number one in the state or whatever. So something like that is certainly tempting, or that somebody like a Tootsie Tominette's 90-year-old pitmaster at Snow's Barbecue is back on top. So there are those stories that if we didn't just stick with the barbecue, would be are certainly tempting to really highlight. But we've got to stick with the barbecue, and in doing that, that does require some painful decisions, and a lot of those are like Steve and Joseph at Riverport Barbecue, one of my favorite barbecue joints to go to. I always love visiting there, and he had a just it, our first taster did not have a great visit, and I did not as well. So two of those back to back was pretty much it. Stanley's in Tyler is another one. Which I know them really well, and know certainly Nick Pensis and a lot of the folks who work there really well, and they're not in our top 50, and that was tough. Joe Zavala's Barbecue, so it's like these. It is, it does make it a tough decision, but it's like in the end, it all comes down to the barbecue, and fair or not. It's the barbecue that was in front of us at the time. It
Well,
is based on those individual visits and those individual days.
the cool thing that I appreciate for you is, yes, you're doing this in search of the next top 50 list, but I think you do a really great job of highlighting, as you mentioned, the stories of some of these things because you're still writing, even though the next list is 4 years
Mean
away,
the
you're
top
still
50
putting out
list,
stories.
yeah, the top 50 list is one thing that I do every 4 years. It's certainly a big thing. It's a massive issue for Texas Monthly. It certainly sells a lot of copies, and it's something that we're dedicated to. But it's only every 4 years, and it's one article. And it certainly means a lot to the barbecue joints that are on it, means a lot to the barbecue joints that aren't on it, and means a lot to the new barbecue joints who want to be on it. But most of what I do in my full-time job is go out there and eat barbecue and find good stories to write about people who are working hard and understand their motivations and their techniques and what new visions they might be bringing to the world of barbecue, and writing about those for Texas Monthly. And so, yeah, that's, I mean, I got asked a lot of, after the list came out, is like, are you taking a break now? It's like, a break? Like, no, now I get to like get back to my real job, which is
Yeah.
going all over the state and writing about all these individual barbecue joints.
The stories are cool, but one of the things I love is the community itself, right? You may know some jerks that are pit masters, but I haven't met any yet. Even, you know what I
I've
mean?
met
Like,
some.
yeah, there's some that are out there, and I feel like most of them are kind of old school, but this brand, like Amir Jalali at Redbird down in Port Neches, right? Like,
He
he's
is
working the
definitely not
line.
one.
No, right. He's working the line, and I walk in, and at this point, they weren't on the list. They still were kind of brand new. And we go in, and he couldn't have been sweeter. He was an absolute sweetheart. That's the thing I love about this community of barbecue pit masters is they, by and large, 99% of them are just really good folks. And I appreciate that. I'm stepping into, a podcast, into a barbecue world that is very receptive to people wanting to talk and wanting to be friendly. I love that aspect of it.
Yeah, and in the end, it's about hospitality, right? And you talked about Amir down at Redbird, and really, it's his whole family, right? He's got so many family members and good friends who are not only invested in the business, but in the community and in in Amir's success as well. And so that comes through in the way that they serve their customers. And I think the sort of love that you put into serving your customers and the hospitality, it that dedication also migrates into the food, and the quality of the food that you serve and the care in which you take in preparing it and serving it.
Are you concerned because we've seen some joints go away? We've some places that were on the list and have vanished. And the cost margins are so small now, and beef prices just seem to always go up. And that's the thing in Texas. Like, everyone wants brisket when you're in Texas. Is how concerning is kind of what the nature of the barbecue market right now? How concerning is that to you?
I would say the most concerning thing right now is the beef prices. The price that we've seen on the wholesale market for brisket, and that you can track you can track on government websites, and it shows you exactly how it compares to this time last year and the year before and the year before. We've seen high brisket prices. We've never seen them this high. This is really unprecedented, and that's just for your average choice brisket out there. And so anybody who is selling a brand name or a prime brisket or a brisket that really has anything special, about it is going to be charging a premium. And there are still only two briskets per animal. And we also have this really unprecedented popularity of Texas barbecue, which requires all these barbecue joints, thousands of barbecue joints across the country now, to be serving brisket. And, I think until Texans and really Texas pitmasters can really sort of wrap their arms around the fact that this all began as really a beef-centric barbecue, and it's about beef barbecue, and it's not doesn't necessarily have to be about brisket barbecue. Until we can wrap our heads around that and find a way to promote other cuts, I think, we're gonna see a real squeeze on brisket for sure.
Well,
And
it's
then,
amazing.
part of the challenge too is that brisket is certainly gone up in price, but it's still one of the least expensive cuts of any you can choose. So we've seen a bigger popularity for beef cheeks, and beef ribs have gotten even ridiculously expensive. But it really, I think the market. Sorry, I think the barbecue restaurants have responded in a way of really trying to use 100% of that brisket, right? I think certainly our intersection now with this new popularity of beef tallow, and it being labeled really like a health food, which,
Yeah. Thanks, RFK. Appreciate that. Healthy tallow.
yeah.
Love it.
But it's working for barbecue joints. A lot of them
Yeah.
are taking that excess fat that they can't use in their sausages and then in their burgers and things like that, where they're using all their brisket trimmings. They still have a lot of extra fat left over, and you can only use so much of it in your pot of beans. So a lot of them are straining that and putting that in jars, chilling it, and selling beef tallow. Some of them even charging more for smoked beef tallow. I talked to Moreno Barbecue, Bo Moreno in Austin, and he said that he's had customers come in saying they're using it for like beauty purposes, rubbing it on their face. And he's like, I'm not deodorizing this. Like, this is
Yeah,
still,
it's,
you're
I
gonna smell
mean,
like beef.
if you're gonna, if I mean, look, if you're gonna offer me a cologne that smells like a really well done brisket, I might take you up on that. I might put a little tallow on the pressure points or whatever, pulse points. Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you? Dang, that's sounds
Just walk
delicious.
into a pit room, Patrick.
Oh no, I'm always, I imagine you always smell like barbecue. Are you not, do you not ever smell like barbecue at this point?
I mean, today I don't. I'm not
Okay,
gonna go eat.
okay.
I don't have any plans to eat barbecue today, but
Do you get tired of it?
this weekend for sure. Do I get tired of eating barbecue?
Yeah.
I get
I
sure.
mean,
Yeah, I
are there
get tired of
periods
eating.
where you're just like, okay, I gotta stay away from a barbecue place for like 2 or 3 days or, a week or whatever?
Yeah, for sure. But I really get more tired of it when I'm searching for the top 50, because a lot of that is about going back to places I've been to a number of times, many, many times. And so going out there and trying new places, like pitmasters who get sick of barbecue and certainly get sick of their own barbecue, is totally understandable. They're eating the same thing day after day after day.
Yeah.
For me, I get the benefit of going out and trying new spots all over the place. So I'm always trying new and different barbecue, and I think that helps, helps keep it fresh.
Any thoughts of expanding to 100?
Well, I mean, we kind of have, right? Like we have
An
our
honorable
top
mention.
50 and then we have our honorable mentions. And so, it's essentially a top 50 and a bottom 50. We don't call it our top 100, but essentially that's what it's become. And that really is just that is a reflection of the quality of barbecue in Texas, because it used to be pretty easy to put together a 50, like back in 2013 or 2017, putting together a list of 50 places, but then finding 50 more, we really had to focus more on individual cuts from those places in the honorable mentions list about what made them special. So maybe a ribs were really great at this spot, or this kind of sausage was great over here, or this dessert at this spot. Nowadays, you've got to be serving a really great menu all the way across the board, to be even an honorable mention. So, it is more a top 100 list.
When you travel a ton and you're all over the place and you're trying barbecue in a lot of places. I had the benefit at Northwestern State of traveling a bit and trying some barbecue joints, San Diego and Oregon and a bunch of different places. And I half the time I'm texting you, hey, have you gone to any places in Cleveland? Like, help me out here. Any places in Toronto that I need to try? When you go traveling outside of Texas, and obviously Kansas City and Memphis and the Carolinas are a little different, but you're in Minneapolis or you're in New York or something like that, how do you go about sort of judging in your mind, because you're not putting a list together or anything like that, but how do you go about sort of critiquing a barbecue place when, let's be honest, and you're in my opinion, Texas barbecue is the best that you're going to find. How do you go about maybe going to a place where brisket is not something they do very regularly or do very well? What's your handicap for going and trying other places?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is really understanding what they value, what their customers value, and what their target is, what they're aiming for, right? So I'm not going to go to Lexington, North Carolina and try out somebody's brisket and try and judge them on that. I'm going to get their chopped pork, maybe the chopped pork sandwich, because it's their pork shoulder. That's their specialty, and that's what they want to impress people with. That's what people go there to eat. Oh, and the slaw dogs. Definitely get slaw dogs if you're in Lexington, North Carolina.
Okay.
But the so part of it's that, right? I want to know what that specific region is known for, and then if it's a Texas style barbecue joint that's got Texas in their name or Texas in their branding somehow, like that's what I'm gonna judge it against, right? Like
Yeah.
if you're gonna go out there being a spokesperson for Texas barbecue in Florida or in Arizona or wherever it might be, like that's what I'm gonna hold you to. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest about the brisket that I find out there if you're saying that brisket is one of your specialties. But
You,
yeah, I was just in Kansas City,
yeah.
and you mentioned like, certainly it's a city that's known for barbecue, and it's a known quantity out there, and they have their own
Yeah.
style. But the thing I did this time, instead of going and trying a bunch of different cuts and a bunch of different proteins at each of these barbecue joints, I went into seven different barbecue joints and just tried the burnt ends.
Which is what Kansas City allegedly invented. So,
Yes.
you know.
And so it's when you're able to hone down on that one individual thing, it's maybe a little easier to spot the differences from one place to the next and really just see how differently a burnt end can be translated in a place like Kansas City that is, known for burnt ends, which supposedly is this one thing, but you go to all these different barbecue joints and they all do it really so differently.
Yeah.
And the spots that it originated it, Arthur Bryant's barbecue, they're pretty bad.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it when I went.
Yeah, and the places that the newer spots who do a burnt end that maybe anybody who's new to barbecue would recognize a little bit more, like an actual like cube or a chunk of brisket. I enjoyed quite a bit more.
Yeah, Q39, one of the little more modern joints up there. And by the way, Tyler Harp, Harp Barbecue, doing great work of Texas style work up in in Kansas City, trying to proselytize while he's living up in Kansas City. All right, before I let you go, a couple of off the wall questions. Number one, you
That's
have
burnt bean.
yes. One off the wall question. Yeah, I put my tape up there. I'm gonna tape over my burnt bean sticker right there. The good Lord comes down and says, "All right, you got one bite left. What do you one barbecue bite? Anything else you want? Don't worry about it. Fish, whatever. You got one barbecue bite left. What are you taking?"
Oh my God.
I'll tell you mine while you
Okay.
consider. I'm going the bacon burnt end or the pork belly burnt end at Heim. That's still to this day my favorite single bite of barbecue I've ever eaten. First time I tried it, it was heavenly. Yeah, I told you
Yeah.
this is a this is not these are the these are the tough questions.
Yeah, it's not, this is not an off the wall question. This is a really tough one because I mean there is no one, right?
Yeah.
I mean you said the pork belly burnt end and like the best one that I've had from Interstellar Barbecue. Ooh, man, that is a great one.
Yeah.
One I keep thinking about is this beef back rib, and partly because it's a cut that isn't done as often in Texas these days. The back rib just comes off the ribeyes. So there's very little meat left on the bone. It's not like the big massive short ribs. But man, this beef back rib from Koi Barbecue in Houston.
Okay.
They do it, they start it in
Don
this
Wynn, right? Wasn't that in that Don's place? Yeah.
And so they start it in the smoker, in the offset smoker, and do it slow and to get it tender, and then they finish it in a direct heat cooker. Where they do their whole hogs and they actually finish their pork ribs on there too, but they finish the beef ribs on there, and they've got a mop sauce that they put on it. It's just spectacular, and they found a supplier for like a really meaty beef back rib too, and so if you get a really great beef back rib, it is just one of the finest eating experiences of beef barbecue that you can find.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just a regular beef rib is when it's done right, is pretty spectacular. So, certainly can see that. All right, last thing, completely off the wall. Do you know about the meat tick?
Oh yeah, Alpha Gal.
Whatever it is, I don't know what its name is, but
Well, I mean the tick is the Lone Star tick. That can give you a sensitivity, the Alpha Gal.
yeah, so basically, if the tick bites you, you become somewhat allergic to enzymes in red meat.
Terrifying.
My producer on my old radio show, we have a pact that if I ever get bitten by the meat tick, we're going out in the woods. I'm going to eat two or three steaks, some brisket, like as much red meat as I can, and then he's going to take care of me before my throat closes up and I die, so I don't have to suffocate. What's your plan if, you know, you've been the barbecue editor now a dozen years? What happens if the meat tick gets you?
Just gotta wear long pants in the woods, man.
Long
Yeah.
sleeves, long pants.
Long sleeves, long pants.
A lot of off.
No, if I get bit by the meat tick, I mean I do know there are like scientists, physicians out there who have worked on ways to overcome it, and there are treatments for it, but they are
Yeah.
longer term treatments. It's not some
Yeah, I
pill you
read the
take and it
article.
reverses
The
it right
guy was
away.
like, "This was my last burger I ever ate." You know, was like 19 years ago or whatever. You know, look, I love chicken. I like pork, but man, take beef away from me. I don't know, brother.
Well, I think pork is also, I mean, you also get a sensitivity to pork. So
Oh,
that
well,
would
then
be
we're
out too.
definitely out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like chicken and seafood essentially that
No.
that you'd be okay with. But yeah, it's a terrifying thought.
It is a terrifying thing. Hey, at BBQ Snob on all the social medias is where you can find Daniel. Do you have it? Obviously, the next list coming out in 4 years, but is there anything between now and then that is maybe more than just a, "Hey, I'm writing an article about this place or this person"? Do you have anything, you know, bigger that you're working on right now?
Well, I mean, at Texas Monthly, we've started producing a show that is Texas Monthly Presents, which goes on PBS, and there'll be some more barbecue content. We've aired a few of them already, and there's been barbecue content, different barbecue joints featured on there.
Okay.
And so yeah, if you
Do you host? What do you
no,
what's
I'm not
your
a
role?
host. We feature three different stories in each episode, and so we talk to different writers throughout Texas Monthly about stories they've written, and a few of those are barbecue stories. And so I share some background about the places that we're featuring in a particular episode. We are doing a full episode that is just on the making of the top 50 barbecue list,
Nice.
and with
I
interviews
won't
of
read that
different
one,
pit.
I promise.
There'll be interviews with different pit masters who are on the list or maybe left off the list, and certainly they follow me around to a couple of spots as well. So
That's why
that'll
we
be
got to
coming
save
out.
PBS, man. We got to save PBS because we need more Texas Monthly barbecue content on that thing. That's what I'm
That's
saying.
right, NPR too.
Yeah, exactly. Daniel, you're the best, brother. Thank you for being our first guest. Hopefully this wasn't too painful for you. We'll obviously circle back and have you on at some point down the road, but appreciate you basically going ahead and getting us off and rolling on the barbecue hound. Oh, and I forgot to mention, thank you for the name. We didn't even
Oh,
get into
okay.
that. Yeah, like you came over to Shreveport and we had a nice little Chinese meal with Stephen Joseph from Riverport. He came over and hung out with us, and you wrote a story about a local guy who was a veteran who really neat character. And in it, you referred to me as noted barbecue hound Patrick Netherton. So when I was thinking about the podcast and what to name it, well, there you go. I'm a noted barbecue hound by Daniel Vaughn himself. So thank you for the name. I guess I owe you naming rights. I don't know what that equates to. Have your people call my people.
Woof.
Brother, you're the best. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thanks to Daniel Vaughn, the barbecue snob himself, the barbecue editor of Texas Monthly Magazine, for joining us. That's going to kind of be what we're looking for, a big interview that will hopefully give you some depth and a little more knowledge about some of the people that are in this great world of barbecue. Now, the ending of the show will be what we refer to as the smoke, as in bring the smoke, give us the smoke, that kind of thing, because we want to hear from you, the listeners and viewers of this podcast. So the end of the show is going to be all about you, going to be basically the listener mailbag, aka the smoke. If you want to get in touch with us, Patrick at thebbqhound.com on the email. You can text or leave a voicemail at 318-6570-HAM, 318-6570-426. Or comment on our YouTube page, comment on any of our podcast pages, on our episodes, etc. And please don't forget to go like, follow, subscribe to our channels, and please give us a rating, preferably 5 stars, but we'll take any stars you got if you leave us a rating on any of your favorite podcast platforms. All right, let's start with an email. It comes from Jeff. Jeff, who emailed Patrick at thebbqhound.com. Patrick, I imagine you've eaten at hundreds of barbecue places in your lifetime. What is the best bite of barbecue you've ever had? I think it's kind of a tie for first, and funny enough, it's both pork belly. One of my earliest favorite bites of barbecue was went to Heim in Fort Worth, and if those of you that have been to Heim know, the bacon burnt ends or the pork belly burnt ends are what they're known for, with a little bit of a sweet glaze on them. And that was for a long time the best bite of barbecue I ever had. And I've had number one places on all three of the last three lists. I've been all over the country eating barbecue, and those pork belly burnt ends from Heim are about as good as it gets. And then I had the pork belly from Goldie's, and it was just a special they were doing that day. Obviously, we had brisket, we had ribs, we had the Trinity with sausage and all kind of sides, but they gave us the Pitmaster platter and put a little bit of put a little of that pork belly on there. Brother, that was absolutely incredible. So the pork belly burnt ends from Heim and the pork belly from Goldie's probably tie for my best bite. And my best side bite is still the barbecue baked beans at Riverport in Jefferson. They are spectacular. A little bit of sweet. He puts the brisket in there. They are just right. They are exactly what I want in a barbecue bean. It is spectacular. So if you go to Riverport Barbecue in Jefferson, definitely make sure you get an order of the baked beans, because that is my favorite side that I've ever had. All right, let's get to some comments on our first episode YouTube page. We will begin at the beginning. Bob said, let's go. Effective Diesel said, good job, big guy. Bob asked a question that I think will be interesting, and we'll answer it. I answered it on the YouTube page. I want to answer it here as well. Will the guests be on the phone, voice only, in video, on video, or live in-person interviews? Will the show be recorded in studio all the time? Well, this is my office. Or will it be on location so I can see the delicious barbecue? And the answer to your question is a little bit of all of them. I'm going to try my best not to do phone interviews. At the very least, we're going to do Zoom interviews. If you watch the show on YouTube, I think you'll appreciate the Zoom interview, and the quality of the audio is a little bit better than just a traditional phone line. So we're going to do our best to have all of the interviews be in Zoom. And eventually, assuming that this podcast grows and people really enjoy it, and hopefully you share it with all of your friends and get the word out there about it, if the podcast continues to grow, then I think we will do some on-location work where we will go and shoot at a particular restaurant. We will interview the pitmaster. We'll look at all of the food, all that stuff. It'll be a little more visual than audio at that point, but that's still going to be a heck of a lot of fun. And so hopefully we'll be able to add some of that in where we do some in-person interviews and we do go on location from time to time. So thank you for the questions, Bob. We do appreciate that. Big C said, love it. Missed you guys on radio. A nod to my old past. Dave said, now I'm hungry. I need good barbecue in Florida. Please help. I don't know how to help you, Dave. Hopefully some people will get some good barbecue down there. Former Northwestern State basketball player Clifton Lee, a.k.a. Big Smooth, said, Big Smooth here, and I approve this video. I'm super stoked about what's to come. Thank you for that. And Lauren says, hope you can get your old producer, Hambone, on. Well, you never know. You never know what might happen. We might get our old producer on. And then finally, Chris finishes up, said, great to see you back, Patrick. Since college football and tailgating season is approaching, a podcast devoted to the best beef, fowl, pork items to prepare that feeds a lot, doesn't break the bank, and of course tastes great. Is it short ribs or chicken or pork shoulder? Would be appreciated. Yeah, it's one of the things that's on my list. I want to find a really solid tailgater that's doing some good food. A lot of them here in Louisiana, you know, they're more in the jambalaya, etouffee, gumbo world. So I'm trying to find some good folks that are doing tailgates that maybe are a little bit more meat focused, a little bit more barbecue and smoke focused. And hopefully I'll be able to do that here in the coming weeks because, hey, football season is right here upon us. So we appreciate everyone who joined in and was a part of the smoke. Don't forget, you can join in. Email us, patrick@thebbqhound.com. Text or leave a voicemail, 318-657-0426, or comment on any of our podcast platforms or the YouTube channel. Thanks, everyone, for participating. Big thanks to Daniel Vaughn, the barbecue editor of Texas Monthly Magazine, for being our first guest. Join us next week for another episode of The Barbecue Hound with Patrick Netherton.